So, we now have Alexander Bokovoy and Simon Sorce. We'll talk about Samba 4 and Fedora. The other talk seems to be a bit over time, so don't be alarmed if some of them will sneak in during your talk. And
this is for you. Okay. Welcome, everyone. This talk is going to be about the state of Samba in Fedora in general, what is available, what is not, what we will be working on, and let's see, what else?
Yeah, please, we would like you to ask questions you have during the talk. Don't be afraid of interrupting.
Yeah. So here is the small overview, how we are going to talk and what to kind of in which order and I'd rather start with the functionality that you're basically able to get in Fedora right now. So it's a typical file and print server, the classical domain controller, various identity clients, including the nice desktop integration along the lines what Steph was showing in the previous presentation. There's also free API integration, OpenChange client work, and last but not least, the Python bindings, which is a fairly big change to what was before with the client side on Samba. And the Samba 4.0 is actually a fairly big change to what is actually released as a Samba. So it includes the traditional file serving part, the domain controller for classic networks, how we call them, not the Active Directory domains. It includes a lot of identity mapping and domain topology resolution and Active Directory compatible controller that is part of the Samba ADDC project. And there are two client-side parts. One of them is the traditional libsmb client implementation that almost all external projects are using, and now there are generated C libraries for the DC RPC work and also nice Python bindings on top of those libraries, so they can be used for expanding beyond the file system access. And here is what we have enabled in Fedora. So basically all but the ADDC part. And of course there are reasons for that. And there's also a lot of confusion as we saw in the mailing lists and in the bug reports. There are continuously in past a year at least bug reports that say why ADDC functionality, well, why user has been Samba binary is not available, which implements the ADDC part. Well, it was available in Fedora 17, but why it's not available in Fedora 18? Please return that one. And there's a storm in Bugzilla talking, get us the functionality. But the ADE domain controller is actually not compiled for certain reasons because it's used embedded Heimdall Kerberos implementation. It utilizes some Heimdall code that is actually not really related to Kerberos as well, which ties into the Heimdall. Heimdall itself is not available in Fedora, even though there are package reviews for about 2 years already, trying to get them in parallel to the MIT Kerberos. But basically, it would cause Samba client libraries to be compiled against Heimdall. And that is something that of a quite importance to the distribution. And Sima can tell a lot about this.
Yeah. So the main reason why we do not compile the domain controller is that we started using too much Samba code throughout the distribution. And the problem with the domain controller code is that because it causes the whole of Samba, all the libraries, to be compiled against Heimdall, it makes our integration in the rest of the distribution impossible if we do so. We've done a lot of works in parallel on Kerberos in distribution. We created a number of new features because Red Hat is part of the MIT Kerberos consortium. And these new features went into the MIT Kerberos implementation. The dear credential cache is one of the fundamental features also in Fedora 19. It changes the way credential caches are managed by default. It allows you to have multiple TGTs, which means you can have the same machine, actually the same user account, acting against multiple realms and having multiple TGTs without having to keep going to kinet and kdestroy to do one operation, kinet kdestroy to the other operation against the other realm. You can have the multiple TGTs at the same time. This was really important for us. We have the clock anti-skewing bug fixes, thanks to Steph. We have a whole new OTP support in the KDC that we have integrated in FreeIPA, for example. We have this new interposer plugin called GSS Proxy. GSS Proxy is a project that actually I started, and it's basically used for privilege separation. What we can do is basically to allow a program that uses GSS API to use key tabs without having direct access to the key tabs. And we use these for NFS support, for example. We use GSS Proxy. In Fedora 19, we'll use GSS Proxy to replace RPC SVC GSSD, which is the daemon used in NFS server, to do Kerberos authentication. And that allows us to do things like supporting Active Directory with the NFS server tickets, with Active Directory tickets with the NFS server, because GSS Proxy doesn't have limitations on the size of the ticket, while the old NFS server daemon has a limitation of basically 2K on the size of the ticket. And if you have just a few groups in your user and there's an MS pack attached to the ticket becomes larger and the NFS server simply cannot authenticate you. So there were a number of use cases we needed to fix. We have new credential store extensions, API, key tab initiation. These are all initiatives done with the MIT Kerberos. And all of these features are available in MIT Kerberos, and we want to use them with all our software, with all the clients. And some of the Samba libraries we use are used in various applications, and they have to be compiled against MIT Kerberos, because otherwise these features will not work. For example, just the dir cache will simply not work, because Heimdall has no idea what the dir cache is.
Yeah, the question of the dir cache actually popped up on the Samba technical in the past few days when people tried to compile the ADDC against embedded Heimdall in user local in Fedora. And Fedora 19 has the dir cache by default. So when you log in, your credentials cache automatically using the collections instead of a single file. And Heimdall doesn't know how to deal with it. So the whole Samba tools, including the installing the domain control, doesn't work.
Yep. And the one remark I want to make is the Kerberos libraries are basically fundamental in the system. You cannot just go there and replace them easily. They are fundamental in Fedora. I know they are fundamental in Solaris. Solaris has their own Kerberos libraries that are also derived by from MIT. And they have changes that are not in MIT and absolutely not in Heimdall. So, you know, if you cannot replace the system once. You can build a binary against Heimdall like we do with the Heimdall embedded in Samba, but then any client library you get from Samba cannot be used by the rest of the system because things do not integrate. We wanted to show why, what is our direction for this, and before doing that, we have to introduce what we do in identity management in Red Hat and Fedora. Our point of view is that there are many identity management systems, and the most common one for Windows clients is AD, of course, and we totally want to support that. Actually, when people come to ask us what should I use for Windows clients, we tell them either Windows AD or Samba AD, even though we don't compile Samba AD yet, because that's just the natural system to use for Windows clients. That's the most functional one. And on the Linux side, though, we prefer to use another identity management system that Red Hat has sponsored for many years called FreeIPA. And FreeIPA uses a ton of Samba components as well. And the reason is that we want to have this separation where the Windows admins can go and keep using and managing the Windows machines with their own ID technology, but we want to allow Linux admins that are they only care about the data center, you know, tons of cloud stuff rather than, you know, bunch of machines that are just run Linux stuff. And we want to allow them to manage their machines efficiently with an identity management system, but not be tied to the Baroque system that is AD when you think about, you know, managing Unix machines. And so what we did is we wanted to create a bridge so you could use both at the same time, so that you can have users in AD, for example, with their Windows clients, but have the same users be able to authenticate on Linux machines while keeping the actual administrations of the machines separate so that the two silos can keep managing their machines without problem. We did that using Samba and to do trust relationships between free IPA and an ID domain controller. We did that using the Samba classic domain controller code because we can make that with an MIT Kerberos KDC easily, also because it's pluggable. And that allows us to build this new system that...
We presented with Andreas on the previous Samba XP conference the work that we did or started doing at that point. So now it's largely done. FreeIPA 3.2 released just, I think, last week. Yeah, this week it went into the Fedora 19 just before the beta. And I actually have a code here running against the Windows domain that I can actually establish a trust with. And let me do it. Enter the credentials and works. So I got the trust established. This means that the Samba within FreeIPA install and MIT Kerberos KDC within FreeIPA install trust all the users on the Windows side. They can be used to log in into machines under the FreeIPA control. Well, you need to map some identities. We have some mechanisms for that. But basically, that's kind of things working together, and it's a Samba underneath it. Two-way trust, well, it says two-way trust, but not all the features of the two-way or bi-directional trust is actually working right now. So we hope to extend to that. And we support some filtering, which is important for the Windows 2012 domain controllers, and do a lot of work on the MSPAC filtering and putting the proper data in it. And actually, you already can use it in Fedora 18 to a certain degree, but with Fedora 19, we get kind of more polished integration here. So basically, the way it's done is that we implemented a trusted domains management within the PassDB module within domain controller that is putting the data into FreeIPA LDAP server, and then MIT KDC database driver looks in that data and uses it to properly verify who is trusted, who is not, beyond the traditional domain subdomain trust that MIT has. And the one of kind of side effects of it is that the WinBind itself only needed to run on the FreeIPA masters, not on every single machine as traditionally it's done. And Sumit and the whole SSSD team did a lot of work to kind of make a client side polish it. So once you map the users from the trusted domain to FreeIPA, let's see if I'm able to show that here. So So I have two groups here. One of them is the first group is the group for the mapping of AD members, and the second group is the actual POSIX group. You can see a GID there that assigns the assign it to that group. So if I, for example, k-init as administrator from that domain, from a trusted domain, then I would be able to actually, let's see if I have this, as that admin into the same machine, administrator. Works. Assume it is this. Yeah, I think it's the.
As usual, demos should not be done during presentation.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
What we have is basically that you can just seamlessly log in from like a PuTTY on a Windows client to SSH on the Linux machine managed by IPA. That's not just the IPA server. That's any client.
Yeah, any client. It perhaps didn't work because I removed the trust to show how the trust created, and part of the configuration was removed as well. So this is why we selected the classic domain controller. Yep. It is
so
supposed to
is
be transitive to. We do support it kind of transitive, but we don't implement yet the full topology discovery on our KDC star. That's the next step. But we basically selected the classic domain controller because of the pluggable interfaces that are available there right now. And they were not available in the AD domain controller for us. But what we proved with all this work is that we don't really need to run embedded KDC within the address space of Sambar process. We do need to do a lot of cooperation there between different parts, yes, but it's possible to decouple them and have the intra-process cooperation that actually works. And of course, we need to do a lot of more work there, but there at least we have now two ways of kind of approaching it, and the second one was the KDC database driver that was using Samba database interfaces to actually pull the data, the same data that Samba ADDC is storing, pulling it into the KDC itself. So that's one of the prototypes that Sima did a couple of years ago.
Yes, a few years ago, we were trying already to see if we could use the AD domain controller, Samba AD domain controller code base, but we had this problem that we needed to use the MIT Kerberos. And so what we did is we created a kind of Franken module that basically is able to use DLOpen with a special option to keep all the Heimdall symbols concealed. And as a prototype, it works. And what that means is that I could use the MIT Kerberos KDC instead of the embedded Heimdall KDC in Samba. And actually, I joined a Windows 7 machine at the time, and it was just working fine. So what we cannot do is to not compile Samba code into the KDC. And so that's why we cannot use or compile the whole domain controller again, because there are so many Samba libraries, smaller or bigger, that we use throughout all our code base, that we actually had to remove a lot of Heimdall stuff. The prototype proved that we could conceal them, but ultimately, because on the client side you have to access, for example, credential caches, or you need some features, we couldn't really just use that solution for the rest of the distribution. So as a prototype, it shows that we could use the MIT KDC, so if we can abstract even more the code within the Samba ID domain controller to be able to swap the KDC, then we could just use either Kerberos implementation. And at that point, we could build the whole domain controller on Fedora without any conflict with the other components.
Yeah. Nowadays, we basically have both approaches showing that it's viable to do. One of them is working, the one with free API, and the second one with the database driver. We plan to revive it and make it a way to have Samba ADDC with MIT KDC. It will need a love and a lot of love and a lot of work, but hopefully people from Red Hat Samba team and Samba team proper, Günther and Andreas, can give this love.
There are a couple of more things that we would like to have from the Samba team, and that is a little bit more granular approach to some library. We have had some problems that we kind of tried to fix to some degree, where a lot of dependencies are dragged in with some of the client libraries we have. So for example, we're able to extract the NDR libraries quite well. They don't have as many dependencies now, so they don't drag too much code. But other libraries are very useful in the Samba case that we use, for example, for the Python bindings, but we cannot use in some C code. One of the problems, for example, when we had to implement the CLDAP server, which is something very simple. So what we did at the end is to completely re-implement it instead of using the Samba one. And the problem is that the directory server we use is multi-threaded. However, most of the Samba code is not thread safe. And for us to make this humongous amount of libraries thread safe was like 10 times the work required to just re-implement this little bit. And so we had to re-implement it.
Yeah, well, but we will like it because CLDAP is relatively simple. Yeah, by
but we would like to avoid having to re-implement stuff and instead, you know, remove the dependencies and not necessary, and when necessary, make thread safe the basic libraries that can be shared with projects that are that use a different threading model. Like that.
Yeah, the other part is a common theme around this conference is the ID mapping algorithms, the reliability of them, and making predictable mappings regardless of the way, how, and which domain is users from which domain access the server first, and so on. And given that at least there is a WinBind, there is actually two WinBinds right now, but there is SSSD as well as a clients for the ID mapping on the real servers. We really have need to have a common approaches, common agreements into what ID mapping algorithms are in use, how they interoperate with each other. Is there a way to convert from one to another because people have a natural need to migrate over time? And also, do they support something that's supported on the other side? Like in the Microsoft Active Directory implementation, there is certain support for the POSIX attributes that needs to be taken into account in all of these things. So we do need a cooperation and agreement on what specifically the default setting for the ID mapping algorithms in default releases. Yeah, Matthew. There's a lot of...
One of the problems with WinBind is that it's doing too much in one single daemon. It's doing things that are not closely related together. And it's not like, you know, people did that because they're bad. It's just because it's grown organically. We think we should discuss a bit how to split some of the functionality. Some of the functionality should really go into libraries that can be reused. For example, the domain discovery stuff shouldn't really be only... in WinBind should be reused by external components. Right now we can reuse them within Samba libraries, but they drag in so many dependencies that are basically unusable outside. and that those advantages are not really necessary.
Or trust handling, for example, the way how you treat certain complex topologies in the trust and transitive trust and across the forests is it asks for being unified across multiple clients or multiple products that will kind of rely on this functionality. So we definitely need to get this in more manageable form from engineering point of view as well. And so here is the plan that we have for Fedora. We did a bit already in Fedora 19, but Fedora 19 is kind of heading to the release, so we don't really have chances to change it much there. But working for the next releases for Fedora 20 and 21, this is our plan. So to have the MIT KDC working with the Samba ADDC as a database backend. Make sure that the Heimdall specific calls are abstracted to interchange, and it doesn't just goes to Kerberos. There are, for example, some SSL related functions in Heimdall that are used by Samba code as a convenience instead of using proper NSS or SSL functionality to do that. Then the cross-forest trust is missing completely in the ADDC part, and it needs to be implemented. That's what we intend to work, and there seems to be quite an agreement that this is one of primary areas to work on for one.
For us, it's important because we implemented trust solution in FreeAPI, and we would like to have people be able to use Samba and FreeAPI at the same time. So using the Samba DC to manage the Windows client and use FreeAPI to manage the Linux machines. So if Samba doesn't support trust, we cannot do that.
Yeah. There's also work is needed on GPO interoperability altogether. And eventually, it's not only the server side that needs to care about GPO, but also the clients that will download GPO objects. They need to parse them. So Samba, as a project, would need to think about how to get those libraries underway so that other projects could use them. So there's some work we are starting with it. Hopefully, by next year, we will have something to report on it. And the next part is actually Python bindings, which is... they are less documented than anything in Samba, but they have some self-documentation, especially for the NDR and DC RPC calls, because those are automatically generated, so we have something there. But given that in Samba ADDC, most of the setup work for the domain controller is actually performed by the Python scripts. For system admins, it actually becomes a valuable resource to do the changes they need. So in Fedora 18 and Fedora 19, we supply almost a full set of bindings. Aside from few server-related parts that we are unable to compile, like DSDB, direct DSDB access, the other parts are working. So there are some bugs, like LDB built in Fedora lacked the LDAP driver. So you were unable to use Python LDB to connect to LDAP. But that's a bug. It's about to be fixed this week. We provided Python bindings also for all the supporting Samba libraries, so you can use them. Event and TDB and Talloc, they are usable.
The moral of the story is that we also depend on the Python bindings, and one important thing is that they're becoming more important for external projects as well. So we need to get an agreement to stabilize those so they don't change too much. But we also will have to work toward the next step, which is moving to Python 3. Fedora has not yet moved to Python 3, but there is a strong indication that we will rapidly try to move to Python 3, and Python 3 has some interesting differences from Python 2 point whatever, especially in the binding area. So we need, as a community, we need to have a plan how to address this.
Yeah.
You obviously need to talk to the distribution, because we had this interesting talk the other day with Jenner, which is a little maintainer. So basically, I think we can't do both Python 2 and Python 3 in Samba. So we will need to switch when Samba, when most of the using distribution will be able to support Python 3.
Yeah, the problem is that because of the externalities of these dependencies through other projects, you cannot just say, oh, there is one day in 2000 and XXX where we can do this change. We will have a period, we'll have a long period of years where you have one distribution that is still on Python 2.6, another in 2.7, and another bunch of distribution on Python 3. So we need a better solution there. Otherwise, what you're saying is that that distribution is good, that distribution is bad.
Yeah, well, it's a question of how much effort we could dedicate. Obviously, Yelmer alone cannot do both. Neither we alone cannot do both. But together, we probably will be able to get the differences, because it's all generated. Majority of the code is generated, so we could try to improve the situation there. For the WAF, there was actually discussion already about that, and the WAF author actually approached us and said, us as a Samba project, what version of Python we want to support and when. So
yeah, he
has some ideas as well to move into Python 3.
So for WAF, we have actually a lot less problems. And the reason is that WAF, most of the code is embedded in Samba. It's not part of the distribution. And at least in Fedora, we will keep around the Python 2.7 basic binary. So even if WAF takes some more time to move to Python 3 and makes a switch at a later point, it's not a big deal. The problem with Python bindings is that you will have applications that at some point they need to move from 2 to 3, and they cannot use half of the bindings from Python 2.7 and half from Python 3. They have to do the switch for all of them. So
yeah.
WAF doesn't have this strong problem with the dependencies, but the Python bindings will.
It looks very similar to Heimdall MIT Duo. So they definitely need to leave both of versions together. But so far, we don't have Python 3 work at all in Samba. So it's a wishful thinking, and
we're just trying to raise awareness that
yes,
this is coming. So we need to start thinking about this
yeah,
for real.
And this is one of examples. This is actual creation of the trusted domain in AD from the free API code. Fairly simple, and most of the bindings there are very friendly. You really get less overload like with the actual C code, because Python helps you to convert a lot of types behind the scenes and hide the details for you. So it's most of this code is just a constant assignment and then calling one or two functions and handling the exceptions or errors that happen there. I removed all the exception handling here to just fit into the page. So it's a bit more complicated than this, but this is more or less working example. And it also gives you a great visibility of what Samba does, how SMB protocol is actually implemented, and I think it actually lowers the barrier to enter as SMB developer. So if you start playing with the bindings, you might get into actual SMB protocol development easier than with raw C code. The next topic is the security parts. As Fedora ships with SE Linux enabled, we basically have SELinux integration, and Samba works in the enforcing mode, so all the violations are actually reported, and there's a number of man pages you can read and add your own settings there. With the FreeIP integration, we did some improvement on the LDAP modules, to PassDB modules, to basically avoid information disclosure or exposing privileges that are not really needed to be exposed. So LDAP SAM is usually deployed with DN, LDAP DN as being the admin DN. So if your Samba server is compromised, your LDAP server is compromised because the privileges under which Samba access them are usually admin privileges. So we made an extension in Samba in PassDB API that allows you to basically pass any authentication mechanism and plug it in the JSS API there. And I need to backport this to LDAP SAM, but it's a fairly concise part. Then the JSS proxy integration is coming past Fedora 19, where in Fedora 19, as Simo said, there will be already NFS integration, and JSS proxy is going to be integrated with SIFS client first, and then with the server.
Yeah, we would like
server
to be able
side.
To use JSS proxy with the client, at least with the Samba client libraries. There are some issues there. Some of our client libraries are quite old. Also, some of the server code is old. And some of these libraries even just use raw Kerberos calls still instead of using JSS API calls. And JSS proxy works only as a JSS API provider. So I'm not sure how much effort we can dedicate from the get-go, but one of the things we would like to make people aware, use the JSS API parts, JSSEC. In Samba, in some cases, because we would like to get to a point where we can use the Samba client libraries with privilege separation, so you can basically use the code without having access, the direct access of the credentials. This is very important. We will use this at some point in FreeIPA. We want to use that for Apache, for example, to allow to have web applications without having them access directly to the key tab of the Apache service. And that would allow, for example, to have multiple applications running the same server, but they cannot interfere with each other because they don't have direct access to the key material. And we want to extend this to other services. And if they use Samba client libraries and they have some problems using this, I mean, it becomes complicated.
Yeah, on the server side, in the main controller that works with multiple trusts from unrelated forests, it basically has too much information, valuable information against the unrelated parts of the topology of those forests, and the credentials that it has to each of those other domains. They basically are too valuable. If you break through one site, you have access to all of them. So JSS proxy is one of mechanisms that allows to discretionally set the different access levels and avoid exposing the keys where they are not needed. You need the ticket, receive it with those keys, but not the keys themselves in most cases. And the other security part is that the Samba code is already compiled with position-independent code generation, but it's not using yet the position-independent executables for the binaries. And that goes a bit against the address space randomization techniques.
Yeah, in Fedora, we are trying to move most binaries to use a random position for the code down to the binaries to avoid a number of attacks. And we are trying to move as many critical binaries as possible. And Samba runs as root, has access to a ton of credentials, so we would like to basically fortify the Samba binders as well. Unfortunately, the WAF build does not support passing PyFlag correctly, so we cannot build the actual binaries with position independent.
But this is something that was discovered recently, so we need to work on it. And another part is the performance. So one thing that happens is that the change of the build system in Samba 4 actually brought more granular library management. But that granular library management means there are more libraries to handle, there are more binaries to link against, and the typical Samba 4 SMBD on x86-64 actually links something like 132 libraries at startup. And you can see it roughly twice or even more than two times resident memory and the dirty memory because of those small parts that get into the library. We had a monolithic build in Samba 3, and that was usable, and from the security perspective, probably not so well done, but from the performance side, it was definitely a win compared to the situation now. So we need to see and clean up and identify the areas where we maybe have a wrong split or waste memory because of the wrong design. Again, this is typical software engineering problem, but you see it mostly on the distribution side where you kind of get all things together. And the position-independent executables, they actually change a bit how we, what performance characteristics Samba would have afterwards. There's no any kind of performance research yet how Samba behaves with when compiled position-independent executable.
Yeah, let me explain a bit why that's important.
Yeah, there are some numbers for other software like Apache, where they really get something like 3 to 4% slowdown. And if you're willing to get hundreds of connections per second, in case of Samba with some noticeable computational work on the authentication, especially with NTLM, then I guess this might become noticeable.
Yeah, we need to explain why this is important. We really wanted the library badly, for various reasons. Now we complain, and we're not really complaining because we're bad. But the problem is that we do lazy loading with the DLL, and that's correct. We don't want to resolve all the symbols up front. But what that means is that because the file server forks at every connection, it means we don't pay the startup price once. We pay it every time we get a connection because we fork the SMB server. The SMB server starts using the library, and then you get resolution of some of the symbols. And I think part of the relocation will happen at that point. So we need to analyze if there is a performance impact to the connection at this point by using position-independent executable and position-independent code. We haven't done much of that.
Yeah.
As we said, on a normal binary that loads everything and start up, 3-4% impact. We hope we don't get any impact on the connection side with SMBD, but there is the risk when you load libraries, you know, at connection time.
Yeah, and finally, we have some packaging issues that we used to have parallel packages, and we still have them in RHEL, but in Fedora, we moved to a single unified package that includes all the file bits and the others and those bindings and additional libraries. But the common libraries that we have, the TDB, LDB, TEvent, they increasingly used outside of Samba. Even if we talk about CTDB, it's already outside of the formal Samba code. SSSD uses as well parts of Samba libraries, the NDR libraries in particular, and SSSD is built on top of TALOC and TEvent. And TDB and LDB. LDB is a local cache for SSSD and a local store. So those common libraries, we actually have a major problem is not that they are within the Samba, is that during the release process, the changes that go into, let's say, TDB, LDB, TALOC, they usually not tagged first compared to the Samba release. And if Samba relies on those changes that came into, let's say, TALOC after the previous TALOC release, Samba will have a configure check that checks that it needs TALOC 1 something, which is not yet released, which is okay because it's built inside the Samba package. But if you start building against the system, TALOC or TDB builds, you don't have the TALOC package that you can actually build the Samba against. And I think the Debian has the same problems. So we would like to see some solution to this. One of the easiest solution is to move out those libraries from Samba Git repository into separate repositories. That's one solution. Another solution is to ensure that whatever code is in those supporting libraries in Samba, the code doesn't have changes after the latest target release. If it does, then there needs to be supporting libraries released before some main Samba release. We can probably make a script that Git could use automatically to detect that and report, and maybe refuse to do the main tag on Samba release before it's fixed. But it bites us in past. And sometimes we were unable to find the people who actually can make that tag for TDB, LDB, and others, because not everybody can have this kind of right access to tags on the releases in Samba team.
And we had to wait till the next day or till the person came back from whatever.
Yeah, and it might take several weeks, actually. That was our experience in the past. But that denies the promptly release sometimes. So we want to see some collaborative work on it, whether it's moving code out of a main repository or in enhancing the release process. That might be a solution. And that's the link where you can find this PDF file and how you can contact us. And we are tomorrow here on a barcamp. So if you're on a barcamp, feel free to come and we can discuss the distribution issues or other release issues or whatever Samba-related issues are. Thank you.
So thank you very much. And we have another coffee break. Do you have a question? Let me give you the microphone.
So it's a question related to this thousand of gazillion of dynamic library that we have. Did you already trace that it's having the lot of dynamic libraries that is causing the memory footprint to increase, or it is something inside the libraries?
It is easy to check. I haven't run against every single library, but I can run that and see against the historical view. Because there's a utility called PMAP that can show you, or you can use directly proc PID SMAPs to see the exact split on the memory use per each library that is loaded into the process. So we can go and see that work. But I can see that there's already like a 1.5 to 2.5 increase in memory consumption. While if you compile the same code monolithically with autoconf, you'll get the previous numbers.
So it you seems to indicate it's partially related to the proliferation of dynamic libraries.
It could be due to bad dependencies.
Yeah.
You may be dragging more code in the file server direction.
Yeah.
Okay. I must confess, I've been a bit shocked by the number of dynamic libraries when I realized it. So we might have gone a bit too far in
yes.
the...
Yes.
But actually, I think it would be not too complicated to tweak it back so that, in fact, we build somehow bigger libraries that should be, quite coherent. So, like, you don't try to put, I don't know, ID mapping stuff with file server stuff, but maybe we have too much granularity on ID mapping A, ID mapping B, or ID mapping C. You might be able to put them all in one library.
Yeah, there might be also a reason for that is the local storage in certain libraries that could have be compressed in common pages, but now it's in a different pages because those are different libraries. So it expands the per page kind of use of memory.
And reducing basically the number of dynamic library wouldn't be a bad thing also on small system because if you're already eating, I think I remember that starting SMBD or WinBind with the new WAF build takes up to 600 file descriptor, which is on the small system quite important. You end up eating a lot of file descriptor for basically nothing, and on the untuned system can be pretty bad.
Yep. Other questions? Well, then I'm switching the screen off, I guess.
And of course, you can still ask questions during the coffee break.
Yep.